The following paid program is furnished by Gun Talk Radio. It's for basic entertainment and informational purposes only and is solely responsible for its content. It does not necessarily reflect the views of Cumulus Media, its management, or its staff. WPRO presents Lock, Stock, and Daria. Gun Talk Radio. Join host Daria Bruno right now to talk about the latest news from the firearms industry, safety, shooting, ammo, optics, gun rights, and politics, both local and national. Daria talks guns and takes your calls. Call her now at 438-WPRO or 1-800-321-WPRO. Now, here's Daria Bruno.
And good afternoon and welcome to Lock, Stock, and Daria. Stick to your guns radio, all part of the Great American Gun Project. Daria Bruno here. So nice to be back on the air. I've got a lot of people that have been asking, where have you been? Where's the show? What's going on? And, well, the what's going on is like I've explained it before, but I know when it's intermittent and you don't get to listen all the time and every Sunday, even though we do have a podcast up, which is on my website, lockstockanddaria.com, and it's also on iTunes. And what's the other thing that it's on too? It's everywhere. I mean, there's so many different apps that you can use to access all of these podcasts now, Cumulus Media. But when the Patriots play, I'm not on.
Because you're a cheerleader?
So that's it. I love you. Have I told you that I love you lately?
Yes, not lately.
I love you.
I haven't seen you for a while.
Yeah, it has been a while. I know. But no, I'm not a... You know what? I was just never that type. Not even in school. Not even in high school. Never wanted to be a. Can you see me as a cheerleader type? Honestly,
yeah.
Really?
Oh, sure.
Like with pom poms and the whole thing.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nah. No. Yeah. I've come from a long line of boys. You know, five older brothers. Cheerleading just.
Did you play football with them?
I probably would have liked to have played football rather than be a cheerleader.
I bet.
Yeah. I probably could have done very well, too.
Yeah. I have no doubt. What, do you have seven brothers or something?
I have five.
Five?
Five older brothers.
Yeah.
I told you this. I didn't even realize I was a girl till I was 13 and I woke up one day. Whoa!
What's that? What are those things?
What is that? What are those? And it was like, girl.
Mom! Something happened. Something's wrong.
Exactly. I know. My mom, like... dreamed of, oh, I get my girl, and it was going to be this girly girl and dresses and dolls, and I was afraid of my dolls because my brothers made me afraid of the dolls, right? And when they ran out of, we lived in Providence, so when all the baseballs went down the gutters, you know, went into the sewers, it was the doll heads. They'd come and get my doll heads and use those to bat around out in the street. You know, it was city living. That's what it was like. And then they told me that the dolls would come to life in the middle of the night and come and attack me. So I was afraid of the dolls. I was afraid of what was living under the bed. I was afraid of what was living in the closet. There was like the clown, Clarence, that was living in the closet, my closet. I was tortured. I mean, come on. No wonder why I shoot guns and
that's
have guns everywhere.
That's what I was going to say. Now we know where your
3 feet of my house
your love of
a
guns
gun.
Comes from.
I had to kill the thing living under the bed.
Yeah, that's right.
I got to kill the thing living in the closet, the clown, Clarence.
And you're obsessed with The Walking Dead.
I love The Walking Dead.
I know you do.
Tonight, The Walking Dead. Absolutely. So we got an all-star cast today. Very, very excited. And for those of you that have been like hankering, when's the show coming back? So we got a great one planned for you today. Tim Jackson from the Varnum Memorial Armory in East Greenwich is joining us. Good afternoon. Welcome to Lock, Stock, and Daria.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me back on.
The voice you just heard, Richard August, who is a frequent flyer on Lock, Stock, and Daria. And also, he has his own show, a television show on State of the State.
Yep.
Well, it's public access, State of the State.
Yeah, I had a very interesting interview with two of our progressive Democrat representatives that will air last weekend and this weekend, so it won't be on again. But it's available on stateofthestate.com. You can pull up the podcast. Well worth it because I had a very brief discussion with Representative Marcia Ranglin Vassell, who's a native of Jamaica.
She's out of Providence, right?
But she's a Providence. She unseated DeSimone, who was the House Majority Whip.
It was 20 years that he had been there a long time.
And she is a very... fond advocate. She was actually there under the Michael Manley regime. And Manley is the was the fourth prime minister of Jamaica, who instituted several laws. One of them created a gun court, and the other gave the power for the military would surround neighborhoods, and the police would go into the neighborhoods, go door to door without a warrant, looking for firearms.
Oh, so that's her background.
And she thinks that's wonderful.
You think that's cool?
Yeah, yeah.
Has she read our Constitution? Did you ask her that?
I didn't, but I'd like to get her back on again.
Yeah.
She's an intelligent lady, but...
Did you talk about guns specifically?
Yeah, I mentioned that, and she said, well, we'll be back. You know, we're going to keep coming back with all the gun bills.
Oh, they just want to shove it down our throats?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to come back until they take them away.
She was the one that was, after Trump was elected, she got all those kids riled up in the cafeteria,
yeah,
sitting around, and got them all riled up. Like, now, since Trump was elected, that gives all the boys permission to just grab them. Yep. Remember,
yep.
Remember that famous
soundbite? Remember that.
Sound bite?
Yeah, I don't.
You remember that,
yeah.
Tim, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, how do they do it? How do they get voted in?
Well, because the constituents in the district they come from lean that way.
Yeah.
She's from District 4, and Walsh is from District 3 in Providence.
So let me ask you something, Richard. So Julie Casimiro is in your district, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And there's nobody going to be running against her?
Don't know yet. I don't know who the Republicans are going to put up.
I don't think they're putting up anybody. That's the rumor. That
could be.
Well, how about you?
I've been asked that before. Well, ain't going to happen.
Why?
It's way too time-consuming, and as far as I can see, it's not very rewarding.
Well, yeah, but we need good people up there.
I know. Like,
would clean her clock.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't be so sure about that.
I'd be pretty sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd bet some heavy money on that.
Do you know what Julie calls me?
Oh, no.
Her BFF.
No way.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm having coffee with her on Wednesday to discuss.
So you need to, are you getting her on board with this whole two-way thing?
But I'm working on it.
Yeah, I mean, what's the beat that you're getting, though? That's what I want to know. Is she going to be like another chameleon Vella Wilkinson and, like, turn her back on us?
I don't think so, because as you may recall, you gave her a free lesson.
I did.
Complimentary. It was complimentary. She was very impressed, and... She feels like she learned a lot from you, and she's coming around.
Yeah, but she's still going to go with the flow. I mean, you know how these people are. They wake up in the morning, and they go like this. They lick their finger, and whatever way the wind is blowing, that's the way that they're
going. What politician doesn't?
They have no soul. They're soulless.
Yeah.
Okay? So even chameleon Vella Wilkinson, I should send her a bill for all the airtime that I gave her. She'd have to mortgage her house. She would have to sell her kidneys, her liver, her heart, her eyes. Her everything, her stem cells. I mean, she would forget it in order to pay me back for everything that I gave her. And I gave it willingly. I gave it like it was just here. So help us out. Oh, yeah, I'm on your side. I'm on your side. The first bill that comes up, she flips and turns her back on us. You trust you. I just can't. I can't trust anymore.
Well, that's
no,
true.
None.
You can say that about any politician. They really can, because
you should run. What do you think?
Do you know how much it's estimated to cost to unseat an incumbent in the state legislature, in the House of Representatives?
We'd have fundraisers.
$20,000.
A piece of cake.
Yeah.
Chump change.
$20,000 for a job.
Raised in no time.
You work 6 months a year, and then you got to go around kissing fannies for 6 months a year, and you get like $14,000 a year in free health care if you want it.
I could use it.
Well, why don't you run? Oh, no, you have to go off the air, though.
Yeah, I would have to come. I was going to run, but then they told me that I have to come off the air.
You do, remember Bud Eye?
Yeah, I know.
The great Buddy Cianci.
I know.
I'm running for mayor. Bye.
Yeah.
Have to leave.
Yeah, exactly. You know what? I just, this is too important to me to do that.
Yeah.
You know, to go up there. But I just, I'm not, if there was nobody running against, I think there's, that was the situation with me, too. There's nobody running against my guy up there, Winfield, Tom Winfield. Yeah, he's in the funeral people there. He's been in there forever. And he just goes with whatever the speaker tells him to do.
A lot of them do, because if you want anything done, that's what you have to do.
Yeah. And Tansy says, yeah, I've got to do other things, too.
Well, that's what she says. But guess what? She still hasn't named anybody.
Of course not.
She hasn't said when it happened or what bill. It could have been somebody made a remark at a fundraiser.
It is all this fictitious stuff.
Yeah. And because of the seriousness of the charge, we're launching this investigation and we're going to have human resource people run programs.
That was like a brilliant way to get her name out in the public so that, Teresa Tansy, and then we know the name and now we're going to vote for her. Right.
But you know what's funny?
Poor thing.
She's been given, baby. I'm going to put air quotes up here, folks, credit. She's given her credit for getting the domestic violence bill passed. But as I pointed out in my last letter to the local paper, it isn't her bill that passed. It was Senator Metz's bill, Sub B, that passed the domestic violence bill that we had an input into.
Right.
It was not Teresa Tansy's bill because her bill, modified as a substitute A, did not make it into the Senate.
I know, but that's so inside baseball. People can't even wrap their brains around what you just said.
Well,
they
and
can't
that's what
even
happens.
They don't even get that,
yep.
You know? And that's exactly what happens.
Yep.
And that's how people like Cicilline and Reed and Langevin and Whitehouse, those are just the everyday household names. They go into the polls. They have no idea. They just, I know that name. Oh, Cicilline. He brings food to the old people. Let's check him.
Has donuts at donuts at the senior center.
That's how they vote. That's it.
Yep.
You know, low information voters. That's exactly. They just
when my mother died,
names.
He came to the funeral.
He came right. He went to 10 other that day,
yep.
Too. You know, it doesn't mean he cares at all.
Saw him marching in the Veterans Day parade.
Right. They just care about what's in the wallet. That's about it. And Greg Cruz is joining us today, too. Greg Cruz has been on the show before. You can pass that mic over there. We have to share a couple of mics today. We got one bad port here. And so we're going to be passing around the microphone today for a little bit. But Greg Cruz, who is the chief firearms instructor, I got it right, at Smith & Wesson, is joining us. And I had
only taken you 3 shows to do that. It's all right, though.
And I have it written down right here, so I didn't forget. Remember, you've been like the chief financial officer. You've been the CEO. You've been the janitor. You've been like everything over there. But I finally got it right.
I'm working my way around.
Like, please don't put me anywhere near that in finances because that's not what I do. So I had a great opportunity of taking one of your classes, which was an advanced firearms pistol class, handgun class. And that was a lot of fun. We're going to talk a lot about that in the show today. And what's your name? We have a new producer. You can turn on the mic and talk on this show. Brian. Hi, Brian. So you kind of have to keep me on, you got to babysit me a little bit. You got to kind of keep me on track. So we're good right now, time-wise? Give me the thumbs up. 2 minutes?
2 minutes.
Okay, 2 minutes. So Greg Cruz, and I took your class, and it was phenomenal. And off the air, before we got on the air today, we're talking about a class that I took, a shotgun class that I took with you a couple of years ago. And just like some of the differences that I noticed, but I thought that your class was really phenomenal. And the reason why I'm saying that is because there's another one coming up. And I want to encourage people to take that. That's going to be November 12th at Bradford Sportsman's Club.
Correct. And that class is going to be all about moving with a handgun.
Excellent.
So as the other one was advanced pistol, this one's going to be pistol and movement.
So we're going to be talking about that as the show goes on. So I guess we're going to take a break here. Okay. So it's Brian, right? Okay. So, Brian, I'm going to, give you this little kind of twirly thing with my finger, and then you can start playing some music under, and then we can go. Oh, because of the new system? All right, cool. Awesome. All right. Well, let's take a break, and then we're going to be back in about 5 minutes with more Stick to Your Guns Radio. This is Lock, Stock, and Daria, all part of the Great American Gun Project. A couple of ways to listen to iTunes. You can go to my website, listen live. You can stream it. Or later on, you can listen to the podcast in its entirety. And you can listen to the podcast anytime, anywhere in the world. LockStockAndDaria.com. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Daria Bruno from WPRO's Weekend Gun Talk Show, Lock, Stock, and Daria. Have you always wanted to learn to shoot handguns safely and accurately? I teach a super fun, educational, hands-on live fire class at a range, not a classroom. Firearms, ammunition, instruction, eye and ear protection, all provided for a safe learning experience. Private classes available 7 days a week, day and night. Take the myth out of learning to shoot. Personal firearms training, protection for a changing world. 401-441-0111 or iHeartGuns.com.
It's Lock, Stock, and Daria. Stick to your guns radio, all part of the Great American Gun Project. If it sounds a little different today, there's no music because they went to a brand new operating system here. So, Richard, Greg, Tim, you guys are all going to sing, you know, when we're getting into this. This will be great.
I'm not sure the FCC would appreciate that.
So my guest today, Richard August, is occasionally co-host on the show, which is very nice to have him back and here. Patriots are off, so we're on. Tim Jackson, who is the chief financial officer and the janitor at the Varnum Memorial Armory in East Greenwich, and Greg Cruz, who is the chief firearms instructor at Smith & Wesson. So thank you for these tickets. I appreciate it, and I'm definitely going
to
be there. So you've got a fundraiser.
We do.
Guns and Beerville at Varnum Armory.
And it's seven.
No. Oh.
It's this many.
It looks like an 8.
It's Roman numerals, you know.
It's supposed to be a 7?
I
copied and pasted it. You got one extra.
Yeah, it might be the 8. Yeah, I've only been here for 3, but yeah, it's an annual fundraiser that we have at the Armory.
Okay, awesome. So it's guns and beer.
That's even Marine math. 5 and 3 is 8.
That's pretty funny. Okay, that's a 7.
Oh, you're already cut off. Yeah, I haven't done that yet.
You can't serve me. Okay, 7.
Yeah. Oh, it is 8. I'm sorry.
See what happens when you take a few weeks off and the thing goes to hell in a handbasket.
We're done. We're cooked. We're fried. My brain. I got 2 brain cells left, and they're fighting with one another over here.
You come on the 18th of November. We'll take care of the last brain cells
okay.
for you.
All right. November 18th. Tell us about what is going to be happening. Now, I was there last year, and it was phenomenal. It was
I actually met you there a couple years ago now. This will be the third one that you've attended since I've been there.
Yes.
So what it is we have a beer and wine tasting. And the armory. So the Varnum Memorial Armory is on Main Street in East Greenwich, if you're familiar with East Greenwich. It's the big red castle at the north end of Main Street across from the old post office. Everybody comes to visit the museum and says, I had no idea this was there.
I know. It really, truly is one of Rhode Island's best kept secrets.
Thank you. I think so. I took a tour there and I got invited to work there after I took the tour because I was like a kid in a candy shop pointing out all the neat things that we have. If you enjoy firearms, if you enjoy military history, we have an extensive collection of artifacts that go back from before the American Revolution all the way through the current conflicts. We have a huge Civil War collection, a significant World War I and World War II collection. And we have artifacts. We have uniforms that were worn by Rhode Islanders at the Battle of Gettysburg. We have a pair of gloves that are soaked in the blood of one of the first Rhode Islanders to fall in battle in the Civil War.
Wow.
One of his men caught him as he fell. We have, as part of the collection, but currently on loan to the Museum of the American Revolution in Philadelphia, a leather artillery helmet that was worn by a Rhode Islander who fell at the Battle of Long Island wearing the helmet. And he joined the United Train of Artillery, which was formed from Rhode Island Militia Artillery units to participate in the Siege of Boston in April 1775. And this gentleman, Benajah Carpenter, knew Washington. He knew Alexander Hamilton, of course, right? UTA was the foundation of the Army's Artillery Corps. And it's one of the very few, maybe 5, surviving pieces of headgear that we know was in the Revolution. And we'll have that back in another year or so to put on display.
Where is it on loan from?
It's from our collection to the Museum of the American Revolution in Philadelphia.
Gotcha.
According to their curator, after George Washington's campaign tent, it's their most significant artifact ever.
Really? Nice.
Think they're going to send it back?
According to the contract they signed, they better. Yeah. It's and there is monetary value, but as far as historical value, it's priceless.
You have the A2 flying jacket from a friend of mine, Billy Grosvenor.
Oh, so you know him? Yeah, you know
Bill,
him.
Bill worked for me and told me a lot of stories about his service in the China, Burma, India
I'm going to corner you sometime and hear that. We do have William Grosvenor's flight jacket. He was with the 23rd Fighter Group, which had formerly been
the Flying Tigers,
the American Volunteer Group in China, who fought with Claire Chennault as basically they're mercenaries for the Chinese. They got $500 a kill. They did a great job in slowing the Japanese advance through China. William Grosvenor is a member of the Rhode Island Aviation Hall of Fame, and we're very fortunate that his family gave us. We have his flight jacket. We have a bunch of photographs, his silk scarf, a silk escape map, and his medals on display. We're very proud to be able to display those items.
Heck now, of a guy.
Is the museum, does it only have artifacts from Rhode Island? Or from...
No, but our specific focus is Rhode Island military history. So we do have some. We've gotten donations from the National Guard over the years. And, of course, since September 11, 2001, the Rhode Island Army and Air National Guard has provided significant support to the operations in the Southwest Asia and Afghanistan. We're hoping to expand our display space into another room we have in the basement to include part of that, because I'm very fortunate to know a couple of guardsmen, and I think the people in Rhode Island have no idea their contribution to the war on terror, to the conflicts in Iraq and Afghanistan and Djibouti and Yemen and every place else that they've been serving. And we'd really like to put an area up to focus on that. Just incredible, incredible stories. So we want to try and share that. But we do have a British musket that was captured at Saratoga. We have a pretty nice collection of the Prussian, the pickle grab helmets, the little leather ones with the spikes on top. Mm-hmm. We got a bunch of those. And we have German Maxim machine guns and water-cooled Brownings from the First World War. And since it's a centennial of World War One, we're focusing a little bit on our World War One collection. We've been working with the World War One Centennial Commission to do some events. And I think next year for Veterans Day, of course, right, the signing of the armistice, that we'll have a significant event or two at the Armory.
And how is the museum funded?
We're a 501c3, so we have memberships. You can go online to varnumcontinentals.org. You can join for $35. You don't have to attend the meetings if you want to support us. We're a 501c3. If you have any artifacts you'd like to donate, we can give you a tax paperwork. You can take that as a deduction for a donation. We still get items donated. Last Veterans Day, we had somebody come in and donate a 03 Springfield. It's a Mark I. It's cut for the Pedersen device. We have a couple dozen 03 Springfields, but we didn't have one of those, so that added to the collection. Somebody recently donated a Tokarev, a TT-33. It was a Vietnam capture, but it's a World War II Russian production pistol. They donated that. I've loaned the museum my broom handle Mauser to go with the German stuff to put on display. We have a few things like that for members to do. And we work out trades. The National Guard borrowed one of our cannons, and we're going to put on display a Confederate battle flag that was actually captured by Rhode Island troops at the Battle of New Bern in North Carolina at not insignificant cost in Rhode Islanders' lives. That will be coming back from being cleaned and mounted very shortly. We'll be very proud to have that on display. We have on loan from the state the guidon of the Company L, 1st Rhode Island Cavalry, that was captured just before Gettysburg in one of the meeting engagements with Jeb Stuart's cavalry. And the state of North Carolina returned it to Rhode Island a few years ago. And the state didn't have it on public display, and they've been kind enough to loan it to us to display. We have the uniform of somebody who served in that company, and we have his saber and his accoutrements, his saddlebags. So we're real lucky with a lot of the things that we have to display, personal items like that. They're really personalized. The conflict.
So, I mean, is there enough room for everything there? I mean, I've been in the museum, and it just in for climate control and keeping everything from rotting out and rusting. And I mean, is it going to be time to expand at some point?
We hope so. A lot of it has to do with money. So,
yeah, of course,
we're volunteers. So, Patrick Donovan's the curator.
Yep. He's the one that I met?
He's the one that you met downstairs.
Okay, yep.
I'm service treasurer, so I can work with Patrick in the museum. That's my price of admission. But Patrick's done a great job. He's gotten climate control for the buildings to stop the decay of the artifacts.
Right. I can imagine. That must
You know, when I was a kid and I saw the cartoons about the moth eating the wool, I didn't realize it was real.
It was real, yeah.
But we have woolen uniforms that have been moth-eaten in the past. If you had been to the armory more than 5 years ago, come back and take a look. It's significantly changed. We have climate control and security systems, and we have storage rooms full of stuff that we can't display.
How is it that you're able to have machine guns in Rhode Island, because we know that that's a huge no-no here, and I guess they've been disabled?
They have, yeah. They've been demilitarized, dewadded. However, there is, I don't know which chapter of 1147 it is in the Rhode Island state law, but museums can have them for educational purposes.
And you have an operating Gatling gun.
Gatling gun's not a machine gun, though.
No.
Right? You turn the crank. Anybody can own a Gatling gun if you can afford it.
Yeah. And if you can find one.
Yeah. We do, yeah. We have a beautiful 1883 Gatling gun. It's brass cased. It's in 4570. It's on the mount. We have the case on for it out in our garage, not on display. So if you could afford the 4570, you could shoot your Gatling gun.
Let's talk a little bit about before we have to take a break, the Guns and Beer 7.
Yep, sorry.
Or is it 7 or 8?
I guess it's 8.
Okay.
It's 8, right.
Which is a fundraiser coming up November 18th.
It is, yeah. So it's November 18th. You can go to varnumcontinentals.org/beer. We have a beer tasting in the upstairs of the armory. We have a bunch of local vendors and breweries who are going to be doing sampling. There'll be light snacks served. It's $25 in advance and $35 at the door. We do encourage you to get your tickets in advance, because last year was sold out. We've added an hour this year. It's going to be from 6 to 9 instead of 7 to 9, so 6 p.m. to 9 p.m.
Yeah.
And we have tours of the museum, so the museum's open. You can go upstairs, get some beer, talk to your friends, and come down and look at just a world-class collection of military artifacts.
It's unbelievable.
So that is VI to IX.
So it's just funny.
Yeah, no, V and three I's.
Six to nine.
Right. VI. Oh, you're doing the time. Oh, you're doing the time. Okay.
That's 1800.
Yeah, I'm really. You just killed
hours.
A brain cell. I got two.
One's gone.
One's gone. Right. That's it. Okay, one other thing, and then, Brian, I promise you we're going to take a break. We got to talk about the haunting of the Varnum Armory, because when I posted it today on Facebook, I got comments about, ooh, that place is haunted. I'm going.
Yeah.
And people have a weird thing about ghosts and hauntings, and is it haunted? And what I was trying to look at a video that you posted of a doorknob. You're like, wait for it. There's a doorknob.
Yeah, it's hard to see on if you're using your phone. But we have a pretty good video surveillance system, and our curator, Patrick, was down there. He was working. He was meeting some people, so he's working from the armory. And he heard the door open and footsteps come down the hall. And so he told me about what happened. I pulled the cameras up, and you could see him sitting at the desk, looks over his shoulder, pulls up his phone to look at the camera. Gets up and looks. There's nobody in the hallway. So when you enhance the screen, you can see the doorknob at the end of the hall. It's, you know, like a little bar thing. And you can see it turn. It goes down 90 degrees to 6 o'clock, and then slowly goes back up to the 9 o'clock position.
Wow.
And there's nobody there.
Now,
we can't prove there was nobody on the other side of the door.
Right.
But all the cameras on that stairwell don't show any movement, don't show anybody. So, it's kind of, I was giving a tour to somebody in August, and they saw somebody out of the corner of their eye go into a room. And we didn't see anything. There's nothing on camera, but she swears to God she saw somebody out of the hallway.
Stranger things have happened.
The TV show Ghost Hunters, based in Rhode Island, they're no longer on the air, but Jason Hawes and his crew came in, did an episode. They interviewed people who had seen things. They got some odd things on camera. And we have people who will take tours who will come up after and say, you know, I'm sensitive to this stuff, or I'm a medium. And you've got a lot of stuff going on here.
Yeah, I'm sure. There's a moneymaker for you. Just put a little, like, bed and breakfast in there. Right? Let people stay overnight.
Well,
like,
I think we'd probably
have to. Haunted house.
Yeah.
We'd have to get rid of a lot of the artifacts to enable that. Because we've been there, so we are full of stuff. We've got tons. We've barely room for the ghosts.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, you come down, you might see, you know, something might happen. We've had people have their elbows grabbed, their voices whisper in their ear while they're taking tours. And
maybe Teresa Tanzi. Yeah. Yeah. Have her come over.
Yeah.
I don't want to get any of those guys agitated.
Hashtag me too.
Yeah.
Like, I died for the Constitution. Get out of here. But.
Awesome. Thanks, Tim.
Thank you.
Jackson, who is the treasurer of Varnum Memorial Armory in East Greenwich. If you have not checked it out, it truly is one of Rhode Island's best-kept secrets. Thank you for all that you do, all on a volunteer basis, too. And that certainly is going to eat up a lot of your time, but it's a labor of love. And the one thing that really impressed me about you is being able to take those guns apart and put them back together in about 15 seconds. I was like, and this operates like this, and this is water-cooled, and this goes out here, and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I can geek out on that stuff. Sorry.
It's cool.
But
it's
thank you, and we appreciate your support.
Absolutely, I'll be there. Thanks.
We appreciate the community support.
We're going to take a break. We'll be back with Greg Cruz on Lock, Stock, and Daria. Stick to Your Guns Radio, all part of the Great American Gun Project.
Hi, this is Daria Bruno from WPRO's weekend gun talk show, Lock, Stock, and Daria. Have you always wanted to learn to shoot handguns safely and accurately? I teach a super fun, educational, hands-on live fire class at a range, not a classroom. Firearms, ammunition, instruction, eye and ear protection, all provided for a safe learning experience. Private classes available 7 days a week, day and night. Take the myth out of learning to shoot. Personal firearms training, protection for a changing world. 401-441-0111 or iHeartGuns.com.
Now back to Lock, Stock, and Daria. Gun Talk Radio. Call Daria now at 438-WPRO or 1-800-321-WPRO.
It is Lock, Stock, and Daria. Stick to your guns radio, all part of the Great American Gun Project. Daria Bruno here. Check out my website, lockstockanddaria.com. And from there, there's lots of good things to look at, all kinds of classes that you can take if you're new to the sport, you want to learn how to shoot a firearm, whether it's a rifle or a handgun. Plenty of classes for you to sign up for sporting clays. You want to try your hand at breaking clays and not necessarily on the back of a cruise ship, or you want to get prepared for that, shooting on the back of a cruise ship, great way to do it. LockStockAndDaria.com. And you can listen to the show, too. So you can listen live while it's on, or you can click on the Miss a Show button, and that'll get you the podcast. You can listen to the shows from past, okay? Or you can listen to the one that's on right now. If you don't get to listen to the entire thing, you can click on it later and hear the whole thing. No interruptions, no static, no nothing. So even when you're traveling and you think, oh, I'm going to lose it. I can't tune it in. Just get it up on your phone and get that Bluetooth going, plug it into the speakers, and you can listen anytime, anywhere in the world. It's actually pretty cool, too. Through Cumulus Media, iTunes, my website, LockStockAndDaria.com. Richard August is with us, and Greg Cruz, who's the chief firearms instructor at Smith & Wesson. I just want to give a shout-out to all the hunters out there. Yesterday was opening day of muzzleloader season, so in Rhode Island. Good luck to you guys. Please be safe out there. And I wanted to talk about something that maybe Greg knows a little bit about, too. Have you heard about that new Maxim suppressed muzzleloader? Have you seen that yet?
I have not.
It's put out by Silencer Company?
I have not.
Okay, so for the first time since the NFA, which is the National Firearms Act, was created in 1934, civilians can now enjoy suppressed shooting in most states, and I'm not sure if that applies to Rhode Island. Okay, I'd have to look at the statutes and really digest it and dissect it and see if you can actually have one of these legally here in Rhode Island. But it's a muzzleloader is what it is. And it's an integrally suppressed Maxim 50 muzzleloader. So it's 50 caliber. And you can just buy it. You don't have to go through a 4473. You don't have to do the $200 tax stamp. You just have to be 18 years or older, and they ship it right to your house. Have you guys didn't
never
have
heard
about
of it.
This? Yeah.
And it's funny because the black powder, I know a lot of guys who have shorter length black powder just because it's not regulated. And to me, to suppress one would be the way to go because it's not regulated already. There's no 4473. So
right.
Is that, well, that would be interesting to see because somebody's going to get nutty about that.
And they will.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, it kind of goes along with the arguments, and I'm sure that you were privy to all of that after Vegas and the bump stock And, oh, is it illegal in the state or is it legal? And then you have to look at the specific definition of what a full auto is or a machine gun, how it's classified, how it's written in the statutes. And then you get into all the arguments with the keyboard warriors on Facebook. And so I'm not sure. I'd have to look at what suppressed is according to the statutes in Rhode Island and see if it would be something that would even be something that you could have to hunt with legally in the state. But it's basically when you're muzzleloader shooting, it's pretty much one shot, unless you're pretty quick.
Yeah, very quick. I mean, now, is it an inline? Is that what it is?
It's an inline. Mm. Yeah. It's called a, you should look it up. It's called a Maxim 50, and it's put out by Silencer Co. And I was taking a look at it. It's $1,000.
I was going to get around to that.
$999. And if you're one of the first 3,000 people, they'll send you a free case with it. Yeah, it's very expensive. But, I'm thinking, my muzzleloader, I've got a Thompson Center 50 caliber. I've got an Omega. The thing is so dialed in, and I got the perfect formula for it. And I've killed a lot of deer with it. So I'm kind of like hesitant to... I'd love to have one of these, but I just have to do my homework.
Well, before you put $1,000 on the table, make sure it's legal.
Any of our listeners might have, if you've dissected the statutes, and I know Phil in Westerly is pretty on top of all of that stuff. I mean, he digests a lot of that. Maybe he would know. 1-800-321-WPRO, 401-438-WPRO is the numbers to reach us here. This is a talk show, so you could definitely chime in if you'd like to give us a call. But that's something that I thought was really interesting.
Yeah.
A suppressed muzzleloader that is, when they first came out, they billed it as legal in all 50 states, and then they probably got a little pushback on that, and now they're saying legal in most states. So.
And one thing's for sure, you can't put a bump stock on it.
No, you cannot. Speaking of bump stock and not being able to put a bump stock on it, I was at the, if you've heard of James DeJulia, that auction house in Fairfield, Maine. Have you heard James DeJulia?
I have.
So I've been to the Amaskeag auctions. Remember, you've been on the show and we've done some broadcasts from Amaskeag up there. So finally I got around to going to a James DeJulia auction. And it was 3 days. But the catalogs were just, I mean, never mind the gun. I'm just going to take these books and throw them at whoever comes in the house. And that's just going to knock them out. These books are ginormous. And the guns were, like, absolutely phenomenal. They had everything. They sell absolutely everything or auction off everything. And there's a couple of guns that I was interested in. So I went up on a specific day when they were being auctioned off. And auctions have really changed a lot. Have you ever been, Greg?
I have.
Okay. So when was the last time you were at like a live auction, a gun auction?
I did one right after I got out of the military, so it's probably been about 4 or 5 years.
Was it crowded?
It was crowded. Yeah. It was mobbed, and it was crazy. A couple things that I was interested in, I went and looked at, and the prices drove up so fast, so quick. I was like, are you kidding me? And people are paying crazy money
crazy
for stuff.
Crazy money. And it happens. And that's it. It takes two people for an auction, right? Just to bid against one another. And the problem with that is that you get the people that don't necessarily want that gun that badly, but they just don't want you to have it. So they're gonna outbid you. You know, it's like, I can't let that guy have it.
There was one I was interested in, and there was somebody on the phone. And the person had no idea what they were bidding on. And then they just kept raising the price and raising the price and raising. And I'm like, yeah, you know what? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, right. And this is exactly the point that I wanted to make. So in the past 10 years, things have changed dramatically with internet, being able to look at all of the items electronically online and an internet catalog, an e-catalog, as opposed to having to get those giant books in the mail and go through them one by one. So there's people from all over the world, basically, can log in, look and see what's being auctioned off. And the phone banks, like, what used to be live people in the is now replaced by people sitting there manning the phones. And so you've got this ginormous group of people on the phones that work for the company, and they're taking the phone bids from people that want to bid from. They don't necessarily have to drive to Fairfield, Maine. They just want to be and bid on particular items. This is exactly what's going on. So they drive up the bids a lot. But there was a gun that I wanted. So I've been, you're familiar with the SIG P210.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they're making a newer model of that now. And I don't want one of the new ones. Of course, I wanted one of the old ones. So they had one. And it's a three-day auction. I only went up on this one day when they were auctioning that off from the, it was a Danish military contract gun. And so that's the one that I really had my eye on. And you know it's going to be a war when that's coming up. And when the phone banks are active, when they're bidding, they stand up. So there was like 10 people standing up. I'm like, oh, I guess this isn't going to be the sleeper I was hoping that it was going to be. So it was, you know, of course it went for bid, but I had to have it. It was just one of those things. So I got it.
Good. Yeah, good for you.
I was very excited about it. So I don't have it in my possession yet because it has to obviously be transferred through an FFL. So I'm waiting for it to come in, but when it comes in, I definitely am going to shoot it. Then I'll probably polish it up and make it a safe queen. But the SIG P210, excited. Have you ever heard of it, Richard?
No.
Look it up. It's definitely kind of a cool gun. So this gets even better. So there's a couple guys sitting next to me, and they're like really scrutinizing everything in the catalog, and they're going page by page by page, and they're writing down what all the guns are going for. And is that 5 minutes? Okay, awesome. I just want to make sure that wasn't 5 seconds. So they're scrutinizing and they're writing everything down. So they were a little chatty. We started up a conversation and I found out that they're from Connecticut. And there's their machine guns. I mean, they're auctioning off all kinds of things. These guys aren't bidding on anything, nothing. They're just, you know, having lunch. I think some people just come for the buffet.
Which is not a bad deal.
Yeah. not a bad deal.
Like going to Las Vegas, you know, right? Go for the food.
Right, free lunch and they get the entertainment. So after a while, they're there and they're talking. So I said, "Are you guys like after anything in particular?" And I keep in mind they're from Connecticut. And they said, "Well, we're coming back tomorrow for the flintlocks." And I'm like, "Isn't that all you can have?"
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Stab and twist. I mean, that's got to be.
Yeah, can't put the bayonet on it.
Can't put the bayonet on it.
Nope. But,
right. That's it. They were after the flintlocks. But if you really want to get a great education on firearms, you just go for one day to one of these auctions. It's incredible. You will learn so much, and you'll figure out what the values are of a lot of these guns. I mean, some of them, like you said, Greg, are definitely overpriced, you know, kind of inflated. But that gives you an idea of what people are willing to pay.
Absolutely. And, you know, it may be that person who's looking for that one gun to complete a collection, so they're going to pay whatever they need to get that in there. And other guys looking for certain proof marks or years and stuff. I've seen guys spend crazy money on stuff just to say, okay, now I've got a complete set, or I needed that one to make out this. It's incredible.
It is. And that's the other thing with proof marks by certain inspectors.
Uh-huh.
You know, they might have one that doesn't have that particular proof mark on it, but you're right, they need that one to complete that particular collection that they have. And you can always tell, like, when the machine guns were going off, there was one guy, Hugo, who was manning the phones, and whoever was on the line, you know, this guy was bound and determined to get every machine gun there. And they were paying outrageous amounts of money. We're talking, you're not getting into a machine gun for less than $8,000 for like a cheap one. And there was one, it was an MG42,
mm-hmm.
$65,000.
And that's a deal. And that's a deal.
A Savage Lewis gun, are you familiar?
Yeah.
$50,000. It went twice what it was supposed to. They estimated it was like between 15 and 25 that it would go for. $50,000. That's crazy. Crazy money. You know, and I'm like, gosh, I just got to get my kid through nursing school.
<You know? laughs> Start selling some of your guns, kid.
Yeah, I think
have your
right.
own auction.
You're right. Oh, I know. I know that the Dario Bruno Memorial Collection, yeah. Right? I mean, it's unbelievable. But my recommendation on if you can ever, and they actually have it online too. You can watch it through the internet and watch the live bidding as well. If you ever get an opportunity to check out an auction, go to an auction, and it's a history lesson, it's a gun lesson. You'll learn about oddball calibers and the worth of what people are actually willing to pay for these guns. You know, it's one thing when you see, oh, they're asking this amount of money, but this is what people are paying.
And the thing is, I mean, if you had the foresight years ago, you talk to some of the old timers that had this stuff and got rid of it because they didn't know what to do with it.
That's
had
right.
no idea. Can you imagine what would happen if they took away the NFA and those guns became non-regulated again?
Yeah. Oh, I know. I know. So, recommendation, if you can ever get to one of these auctions or watch one online, and I'm not talking about like Gun Broker. I'm talking about like a live auction like that. Yeah.
Here's my story about auctions. Cool. I used to go to Ducks Unlimited dinners all the time, and they raise money by selling artwork and things. There are people that are bidding to make sure that it doesn't go for a steal.
Yeah. Oh, so
and they're
shills.
Working for the auctioneer.
Shills.
And I went to the one auction. I worked with one guy who was an officer of the Ducks Unlimited chapter. And he's buying all this stuff. And I know he's drunk as a skunk. And I'm thinking, does he know what he's doing? And afterwards, I asked him. He said, oh, yeah, well, I was bidding for the house.
Yeah. So you got to be careful of that, too.
Yep.
Yeah, no doubt. But you're right about if you had limitless funds, and you could just retire off of what some of these old timers had and didn't realize it then. So we're going to take a quick break. We're going to go to news, and we'll be right back with Greg Cruz, Richard August, and more Lock, Stock, and Daria.
Hi, this is Daria Bruno from WPRO's Weekend Gun Talk Show, Lock, Stock, and Daria. Have you always wanted to learn to shoot handguns safely and accurately? I teach a super fun, educational, hands-on live fire class at a range, not a classroom. Firearms, ammunition, instruction, eye and ear protection, all provided for a safe learning experience. Private classes available 7 days a week, day and night. Take the myth out of learning to shoot. Personal firearms training, protection for a changing world. 401-441-0111 or iHeartGuns.com.
It is Lock, Stock, and Daria. Stick to your guns radio, all part of the Great American Gun Project. And we're back. And I guess this little button over here that used to be working, maybe it's not working anymore. Did you hear about, it's not working? Okay. So when you get an opportunity, just a weather forecast would be great. If you could scoot one into the studio, would be great. Doug will know. Yeah, Doug will know. Just say, hey, Doug. Weather forecast in this hour of the show.
What's the weather out?
Sponsored by Ocean State Heating Reps in North Kingstown, Rhode Island. No job too big or too small. Whether you need equipment, plan, and spec to heat a large commercial building or to heat your garage, call Ocean State Heating Reps. Their nationally known products and services have been used in all of the public and private colleges and universities in the state. Most cities and towns in Rhode Island have their products installed in a school or some other public or private building. Find Ocean State Heating representatives online at oshvac.com or call 401-295-2828. Great for climate control. If you're building that room, that gun room, and you just run out of space and you have too many safes, and it's like, you know what, I just really need to kind of vault up this entire room, just secure it. I think I'm at that
climate
level.
Climate control. Get the moths out of your woolens.
That's right. Just like Tim was saying about the climate control in the museum at the Varnum Memorial Armory, you know, stuff. He goes, oh, the stuff I used to see as kids in the cartoons and the moss eating and the dust coming off. That's true. That stuff is absolutely true. So you need some good climate control. It's absolutely worth it. Think about how many times you go in and out of your safes just making sure that things aren't pitting and rusting. What do they say? The two worst enemies of firearms is rust and politicians. Right?
Yeah. I was going to say the politicians probably first.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. So that's something that if you get good climate control going, a dehumidifier, you can eliminate a lot of that, which is good. So let's see. I was in Mid-State Gun Range the other day. I basically live there. I do a lot of my classes out of Mid-State Gun Range, and I noticed this. Have you seen this yet?
No.
Camera 3, can we get a close-up on this? This is the new Blue Card Study Guide.
Oh.
Today's Handgun Safety Basics, a guide to responsible and safe handgun use and ownership. I haven't read it, but Kyle, the owner of Mid-State Gun Company, told me it's a little bit different. And I should look at it because there's things in here that he says are kind of interesting and that I might not necessarily agree with everything that they're talking about in here. So I'll reserve my comment. And we'll see what it says. But I'm in it. I'm going to show you guys a picture here on page...
The centerfold.
Nope. There's no centerfold in
Uh-oh,
here.
No.
Nope. Let's see. Come on. Where's that? Here it is. Page 18.
Oh.
To the left in the middle. You think this looks like me, Greg? Think that's me? At a quick glance, right? Did you have to do a double take?
Yeah. Can I get an autograph?
I would, and I'm gonna sexually harass myself here. I'd fill out those jeans a little bit more than those, though.
Yeah, I wasn't going there. Not going there.
I'm gonna harass myself.
I was gonna comment on the sweater. Yeah, it's you.
That look like me?
That's the two-handed grip isosceles stance.
There I am. And the new blue. Wow. Yeah.
We have the Weaver stance and the isosceles stance.
I've had a few people tell me, you're in that book. I'm like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, yeah, at a glance, you know, it kind of does look like me.
Nah. Yep. Arms are too skinny.
Yeah. Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
Did I tell you, when they first came out with the blue card, I went over to the DEM because I was working in downtown Providence. A buddy of mine, he says, oh, we got to have a blue card if you want to buy a handgun now. And Slim Borse. Slim Borse was actually the guy giving the test. He had to go to the DEM. It wasn't available anywhere else.
Uh-huh.
And I went in and he handed us this little book. And it was a bluish cover. Like, pamphlet-sized book, right?
They still, until they upgraded it to this, that's the same thing they've been using for, you know, 103 years in this state.
Yeah. Well, so I started looking through it, and all of a sudden I found, I think, two errors. And I said to him, excuse me, I said, the book is wrong. And
Do you remember what they were?
No, I can't remember offhand.
No?
But
okay.
That was when it first came out. Now, come on.
Yeah.
So old Slim says, yeah, we know it, but we got a grant to print the thing, and we can't get it reprinted. We don't have any money in the budget.
Yep.
I said, so you mean tell me people? Now, I'm an experienced firearms handler, so I recognize it, but somebody comes in here who is new and wants to take this course or test. There's misinformation in the book that you're giving him?
Yeah.
He goes, well, yep.
Yeah. Well, in this one, I haven't read it, so I'm going to reserve my comment till I can actually have a little time and on the throne where I do most of my TMI, I know. But I'm going to take a look at it.
Too much information.
Too much information is they actually talk about self-defense stuff in there.
Really?
Yeah, which I think, well, this is what Kyle said, so I have not had a chance to take a look at it yet, but if they do, that's going to be really interesting.
Yes.
That's going to be very, very interesting.
I'll have to get a copy, too.
We are in the studio. I'm Daria Bruno. Thanks for joining us. Check out my website, lockstockanddaria.com. Lots of great information there. If you'd like to take a class, there's all kinds of classes. Just go to the classes tab, and a drop-down menu comes on. I'm going to talk about a class that we're going to be offering November 11th, and then Greg Cruz, who is the chief firearms instructor, joining me today from Smith & Wesson. He's also going to be doing a class on the 12th. It's a moving and shooting handgun class. That'll be at Bradford in Charlestown, Rhode Island, and that's going to be the day after on November 12th, and I really want to delve into the nuts and bolts of that. But first, I want to tell you about a six-state concealed carry class, multi-state concealed carry class that we're going to be offering on December 2nd. It's a Saturday. It's all day. I'm talking about all day. 10 in the morning until 9 o'clock at night. It's at Pine Ridge Indoor Shooting Range at 560 South County Trail in Exeter. And that is going to give you the qualifications to apply to the following states. So Connecticut, Mass, Maine, Florida, Utah, Virginia, and did I mention Mass? Oh, that's all of them. So that's Massachusetts, Maine, Florida, Utah, Virginia, Connecticut. So that's all six. And also we'll give you some information on how to obtain a Curio and Relics FFL. So a lot of people ask about, well, why not Rhode Island? Rhode Island's just a completely different thing. There's a shooting qualification. I've known people that have tried to do Rhode Island in a group setting, and it's really kind of difficult because the qualification for that is being able to shoot at an Army L target 30 rounds in 30 minutes at 75 feet. And Greg, I'm sure you can chime in with me on this, is it's not as easy as people think that it is. And if you're a shooter, even experienced shooters, I find, struggle with that test. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. But if you're interested in doing the six state certifications, it's $295. We can do Mass only for $100 and Utah only for $100. It's December 2nd on a Saturday all day. if it's something that you would like to take, if you acquire these permits, that'll get you about 33 states to carry in. And we'll give you all that information there. So just contact me. You can call or text me at 401-441-0111. All the information is on my website, lockstockanddaria.com. The classes tab, just put your cursor over it. The drop-down menu will come on, and it's like the third or fourth option. And all the information is there if you'd like to sign up for it. So getting back to the RMEL test, do you think the RMEL test is a good test for obtaining a concealed carry permit in Rhode Island?
I don't think it's a good test at all. And I cringe when people ask me, hey, will you qualify me? And I always have to ask them, have you practiced shooting that course? It's not easy. And I have had people that, I think would be fine upstanding citizens with a concealed carry permit, and they cannot pass that test. It's challenging. You have to be a shooter, and you have to be a bullseye shooter. It's 75 feet. It's slow fire. It's points. You have to shoot well. I've had a number of people, and I feel terrible. I'm like, yeah, you didn't pass. And they're like, but I'm like, I cannot change. Like, that's one thing I won't do. You've got to shoot the number. And I tell people, I'm like, and again, if you shoot with a 9mm, you're carrying 9mm and under.
That's right.
So you have to. So I've had people, want to shoot the 45, and okay, it's 75 feet. You need to have a gun that shoots well. You need to understand sights and trigger control very well. And it's really not a practical test to what you're not taking a 75. Well, I shouldn't say that. You're highly unlikely to take a 75-yard defensive shot. If you've got that much time and distance, you can probably get away.
Walk away from it.
Yeah, probably. But, again, I think it's one more hurdle that was put in the way of somebody saying, oh, I really want to, oh, no, that's going to take me too much. I can't do that. Well, I'll just pass on this.
Right, yeah, and you're absolutely right. They just throw up walls.
Yep.
They throw up walls like, the getting the reference letters and notarized and getting your identifications notarized as true copies and having to write a letter. And a lot of people just are like, I'm not doing all of that. So it is one more hurdle. It is one more wall that they put up.
And doing it all over again every 4 years.
That's right. But I think that the one thing that I kind of do like about that RMEL test is because it is so difficult that you actually do have to come into the range and handle a firearm. Right, exactly.
Right.
Well, even Massachusetts is strict, because you work in Mass. As strict as Massachusetts is, you can take a four-hour NRA home firearm safety class, never discharge a gun, go into a store after you get the permit from your local police chief, buy a handgun, and put it in your pocket and walk around and without ever having
to fire it. Yep.
So, I am it's a real slippery slope because it's our constitutional right, I believe, okay, the right to keep and bear arms. So it's like, should there be a test? I don't know. Should you take it upon yourself and be a responsible citizen and learn how to shoot? Probably. I mean, that's what I would say.
Yeah, I think that I get myself into trouble when I talk
too.
About this, too, because I believe
too.
It's my right, but I also believe that I need some training and education.
Yeah.
And I'm a big, big fan of doing that. And that, a lot of people think that, again, oh, I'm just going to get the license, get a gun, and I'm good. And I'm like, yeah, it's not like that.
I know. You get it all the time. I get it all the time, too. It's like, well, what do I have to do to get a permit to have a gun? And it's, we have a dual processing system here in Rhode Island. There's a blue card. It'll get you one thing. The kid carrying it is a whole different ball game and having to pass the test. And I think a lot of people don't understand what it really entails. As much as I try to detail it word for word in my website, you still get the calls and people, how do I do that? I'm like, hey, go to this link, look at this website, go to that link, and it's all pretty much right there, but it's still very confusing for people, especially if you're not a gun person.
Well, look at you. You've had retired law enforcement officers who cannot pass
that
test.
I've had the LEOSA. Yeah.
Now, they can run a tactical thing at 7 yards or whatever they, where it's required. They go out there and they say, here, this is what you have to do to get your
LEOSA. I know.
And
I've
they
had
can't
people,
do it.
I've had people
they can't
fail
do it.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys do the LEOSA in Mass. I know that they just made a provision to approve it. So, and I've had people from Mass come, and I'd say majority of them do it because I express to them how they really, really need to practice or get something and be ready for it. So they're not showing up unless they're absolutely ready. But I've had some just completely flunk, they're not ready. And these are law enforcement. And we're going to take a break, but that's something that I wanted to talk to you about, your the training, okay, classes,
uh-huh.
and also the difference between training, because you mainly train law enforcement, military, the difference between training them and training us.
Okay.
People like me, okay?
All right.
And we're going to be right back with more Stick to Your Guns Radio. You've got some music going on. You got the guys back there.
Nice.
Yeah, awesome. Look
the,
at that.
The band is here?
Yeah.
The band came in.
Right
I didn't
on.
See them.
We'll be right back with more Stick to Your Guns Radio. This is Lock, Stock, and Daria, all part of the Great American Gun Project on 99.7 FM and 630 AM WPRO.
Now back to Lock, Stock, and Daria. Gun Talk Radio. Call Daria now at 438-WPRO or 1-800-321-WPRO.
It is Lock, Stock, and Daria. Stick to Your Guns Radio, all part of the Great American Gun Project. This afternoon, thick cloud cover, high 61. Tonight, spot drizzle this evening. Otherwise, cloudy, mild, low 56. Tomorrow, cloudy, breezy. Temperatures approaching a record of 72 degrees.
Yeah, but you ever notice that the day we go to standard time, we turn the clocks back, it always seems to be like this?
Yes.
Gray, miserable, overcast, dreary.
That's the way it goes.
And it'll be dark when we leave the studio
it
tonight.
It will be. Yeah. It definitely, you know, I don't know. I don't really enjoy what do they call it? This isn't daylight savings.
Standard time.
Standard time. Yeah. No, I think it just should be left alone. I don't think we should be changing the clocks, you know. That's just my thing, though. Anyway, high 70 tomorrow. I'll enjoy tomorrow because I definitely like the warm weather.
Is it going to be sunny, though?
No.
Oh.
No, it's going to be cloudy and breezy and
okay.
some rain. But it'll still be 70 or 72. I'm good with that. The cold weather, I'm not into it anymore. I'm just not. Especially when you're working in ranges, and sometimes the climate control isn't the best, you know, and you gotta suck it up, buttercup. That's what you have to do. Tuesday, partly sunny and cooler with a high of 54 degrees. And our weather is sponsored by Competition Shooting Supplies at 435 Benefit Street in Pawtucket, home of the $25 transfer. See John Francis, nice guy, knowledgeable, connected, can hook you up with just about anything that you're looking for. Competition Shooting Supplies. Greg Cruz joining us. He is the chief firearms instructor at Smith & Wesson. Let's talk about bump stocks, okay? Because last time you were on the show, we were going to talk about bump stocks, and we never got around to
it.
We get so much to talk about. We always get off on these other great topics. And you have so much knowledge in that skull of yours. It's so awesome.
Yeah, right.
I love to look in there and just pluck out things that you can expouse on. It's so perfect. And if anybody would like to talk to Greg, if you have any technical questions, we're inviting you to call. This isn't just about us, you know. This is a talk show, 1-800-321-WPRO, 438-WPRO. You want to ask about, what do you think about the concealed carry test in Rhode Island? What do you think about shooting at 75 feet with a handgun up to the caliber that you can carry? I mean, you know, let us know. You've got a voice. Dial. Tell us what you think. So bump stocks. There was a national push to make them illegal. They went back, talked to ATF. ATF said, you know what? Our ruling is our ruling. We don't see anything wrong with them. So it just kind of fizzled on the vine. So there was nothing that came down legislatively nationally.
Nationally.
Right. So now we've got all of these states that are like, ooh, we gotta get this feel-good stuff going on, and let's ban a piece of plastic because that's gonna save the world. What do you think about bump stocks? And maybe you can shed a little bit of technical, you know, without getting too, like, in layman's terms about how these things do operate. Because even gun people that I know, after this happened, they had to explain it to their friends, and they were contacting me, and they're like, never even heard of one. How do they operate? What is a bump stock? Can you explain it? So why don't we visit that first?
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about that. So, you know, we talked about it quickly last time. We talked about it, and we touched on it. And to me, again, it's that pointy edge of the wedge. They just want to get that wedge in there and then continue to drive it home and drive it home and take more and take more and take more.
Right.
And again, all this legislation is applied to law-abiding citizens, which is the thing that makes me crazy. So as far as, you know, Mass doing their thing, it's Mass doing their thing. So on the stock
because
itself... Mass did pass it. So
yep.
They are illegal now in Mass, which... Again, so if you have them, do you have to turn them in? Are they going to be confiscated? You know, where all is that going? next, you know. And again, forgive me for my ignorance on that. I'm big on the education piece. I try to stay out of the politics. But as far as the stock itself, how it works, it allows the rifle to slide in a fixture, which then resets and pulls the trigger as you keep your finger in the same location. So there's no internal modifications of the firearm, which comply to ATF regulations. The firearm is now loose, so to speak, in your shoulder, and as the firearm recoils, it moves down a cylinder or a tube that encompasses the stock, and it allows it to bump back and forth on your finger in the same place. So in layman's term, the gun is actually moving under the recoil and pushing on the trigger against your finger, which causes the rate of fire to increase. There's no internal modifications, so it's not if you hold the trigger down, the gun continually discharges ammunition. The gun is moving against your trigger finger. So that's kind of how they get around that. I've only fired one once, and it didn't do anything for me because you can't get a good sight picture. The sight's bouncing around. It's a novelty, and hey, look, I know there's some people out there that have a bayonet for their little Glock pistol because you can put it on the lugs, and I get novelty stuff. But again, to me, we're applying laws to law-abiding citizens that don't affect us, and it's just one more bite of the apple that they're going to get before they try to get the whole thing.
Now, that bill was not a separate bill. It was an amendment.
This is in Mass now.
In Massachusetts. And what the lieutenant governor signed with the governor was out of state, so in Massachusetts, under their constitution, the lieutenant governor can act in his behalf. And Charlie Brown, the governor, said, yes, I support this. So the lieutenant governor signed basically an appropriations bill, a budget bill, a financial bill that the anti-gun people had amended to require, first of all, to ban bump stocks in Massachusetts. For those people who own one, they have 90 days to discard it. They cannot sell it in the state. They have to discard it somehow. They could apparently give it, I don't know how you prove it, but give it away.
Put it on an auction site and sell it.
Yeah, well, it could do that, but it has to be, you have 90 days now, and there's no provision for compensation. So if you're told you have to surrender this, well, then you don't get compensated.
Right,
you're just going to take it.
Right.
And the worst part is, Mere possession of a bump stock carries a minimum sentence of 18 months and a possibility
of 10 years
of life.
Yeah. Oh, life? Okay.
So, the Gun Owners Action League, and which is the affiliate of the National Rifle Association, called the governor and said, hey, this is way too stringent.
They don't do that with criminals that actually commit crimes with a gun.
Yep, and so, yes, so the whole thing is you're otherwise law-abiding, tax-paying citizen who never had trouble before. They catch you with one in your possession, not attached to the gun, and on the 91st day,
yeah,
you can go away for a minimum of 18 months. Minimum of 18 months.
I mean, I'm just thinking, a military guy who buys a couple novelty things and he's, first getting into guns, he's away on a deployment or training, yep, or whatever, and then comes back and says, you know what, that's silly, I want to get rid of it. And he's past that 90-day window. Now he can be locked up. I'm like,
isn't that crazy?
It's crazy.
I know. And yet,
sure.
We were just talking about this off the air, that you get the gangbangers committing crimes with Uzis, and they're not, the gun charge automatically should carry a minimum sentence of 10 years. So, put a number on it and enforce it. Get some teeth into it,
Hey, I'm not a smart guy, but the guy Charlie Brown, it kind of rings, it's a clue to me. Maybe not should be making political decisions. Just
he's the governor. Isn't it Baker?
Baker. Sorry. Yeah. Did I say Brown?
You did. Yeah.
Charlie Brown needs some peanuts.
Right.
Probably
yeah.
the same thing.
Yeah, exactly, right?
Lucy pulls the football up and he falls
right.
on his ass all
exactly.
the time.
Exactly. Yeah. That's a peanuts
Sorry.
Guy. Right.
Yeah. Slip.
Exactly.
Freudian slip.
Yeah.
Sorry, Governor Baker.
Phil in Westerly. Let's go to the phones and take a call. Phil, good afternoon. Welcome back to Lock, Stock, and Daria.
How you doing, Daria? I'd like to comment about how ridiculous the qualification process is.
Okay.
In Rhode Island. Fortunately, I've been shooting a long time. I shot with a high-quality firearm, .45, which is actually easier to shoot than most other guns. And had a very good score, but my score, because I shot with a 45, allows me to carry a 44 Magnum. There are some handguns at 45-70, and there's a 45 Winchester Magnum, which is for a gas-operated gun. I mean, I could carry a 357. I mean, how dumb is that?
Well, you can carry a 454 Kashul also.
Yeah, exactly.
454, it's, you know.
Well, aren't there some handguns that you can carry, like, an AK round in?
Because of the way they feed. It's you know, that shell, that AK shell is pretty funky.
Right.
There's actually a handgun that used to be around that'll let you carry an M1 carbine shell, but...
It's crazy, isn't it?
I think the point, Phil, is that they don't want people going to a range with a .22 caliber target gun and being able to qualify and then walk around with, you know, 45 or...
You can do it. You can basically do it in mass, never having...
Yeah, I know. But I mean, I think that's what the thought process might have been, in addition to throwing up another hurdle for you to go over.
Really another hurdle, but if you've been shot at all, and you guys have brought a good point, you really have to... It's bullseye shooting. It's not real world shooting.
That's
You're not
right.
You sit there and fire one round every minute, you know, for 30 minutes in a critical situation. Ridiculous.
Well, we have our, you know who Rep Craven is, right, Phil?
Yeah.
All right. I don't know if you've heard what he's got on the horizon, but I didn't realize this guy was such an anti, but maybe he's set to get some money, you know, from the Bloomberg people now, because he's really coming out with a lot of crazy statements, and one of them now is that he is going to put in a bill this year, and don't forget, we're getting ready for an election next November too, but he's putting in a bill to ban the bump stock. Okay, so let's jump on that bandwagon. And the other thing is, I don't think he really knows what he's talking about here, is that he wants to limit the amount of ammunition that you can not only buy but possess. And so he's going to put a specific limit, I don't know, a box or two, and then the rest of all your ammunition has to be kept at a gun club.
Really? I mean, so I've got about 10K worth of ammo.
Hand it over.
Sure, I'll do that. No problem. And I do have one other comment. We were up in Boston last weekend with, unfortunately, my best friends are very liberal. So as we're walking around, there's a huge billboard that says, we're not anti-gun, we're pro-life.
Yes.
And then in the middle of those two statements, there's a white flag, and then on the right it says, Massachusetts gun laws save lives.
Yeah.
Now, my friend knows that I'm really, you know, into guns, and we've been friends for 40 years, that's regardless. But so he said, stop. I said,
One of the Democrat state representatives in Massachusetts that was a driving force of this amendment, a gentleman named Representative David Linsky, was among the first to call for outlawing the bump stock, said, quoting, "It would make the state safer while respecting the rights of gun owners." Oh,
no,
really?
Not. Never. It's never that way. It's always us that they're aimed at, because criminals are criminals. You know, they know that if I kill somebody, it's against the law. So if I kill somebody with this gun, it's also a gun. They don't care.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, even if you look at any mass shooting, the Sandy Hook, how many he committed, like 14 felonies before he even got to the school.
Among them killing his mother.
You know, right. I'm pretty sure that in all 50 states it's illegal to kill your mom.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I think. I'm pretty sure. I haven't looked it up, but I'm going to go on a limb and I'm going to say I think it is. Okay.
The banning in Connecticut was a trial run, I believe.
There's a lot.
Didn't go over too well. You know, they figured, we'll all just sign up, and they're guessing there's 250,000 people that didn't
register.
Sign up for that.
That's right.
You know, didn't register their handguns.
Just fence it all in. Barbed wire around the whole state. Yeah. Make it one big jail. That's it.
Build a wall.
Yeah. Thanks, Phil. Appreciate the call. And I might add, and some of you who are following along with the scorecard at home, Google Rep Craven, the dude that wants to put in a bill for banning bump stocks and ammunition, okay, the amount of ammunition that you can buy and possess. Just Google him.
Well, go local prov.
Go local prov, and you'll see two domestic assault charges. Okay, two domestic assault charges. So this is a guy that I don't even think can legally own a gun. I mean, isn't typical slime balls? Unbelievable. We're gonna take a break.
Tell us how you really feel.
And Greg Cruz, chief firearms instructor from Smith & Wesson, is going to be running a great class coming up, and I want to let him get on his soapbox and talk all about it. Lock, Stock, and Daria, Stick to Your Guns Radio on 99.7 FM at 6:30 a.m. WPRO.
Now back to Lock, Stock, and Daria. Gun Talk Radio. Call Daria now at 438-WPRO or 1-800-321-WPRO.
And this segment of the show is brought to us by Susan T. Perkins, attorney at law. Okay, so if you're going through a divorce, you know it's a tough time. Okay, you're going to... case is going to be handled with the utmost care and discretion. Susan T. Perkins has the outlook and creativity that you'll need at this trying time, whether you're going through an uncontested divorce or the battle of a contested one. Susan's team is going to provide you with the best options for either case. Rhode Island divorce lawyer Susan T. Perkins can help with all your divorce needs. She's also a great criminal defense attorney as well. Call 401-PERKINS or look her up online, SusanTPerkins.com. Ladies' Night is coming up, Lock, Stock, and Daria Ladies' Night. If you go to my website, lockstockanddaria.com, and hover over the classes tab, and it's about the third or fourth one down, you'll see Ladies' Night. You just click on that, and it'll have all of the ones for November. So Thursday, November 9th, is at the Fall River Rod and Gun Club. Monday, November 20th, is at Pine Ridge Indoor Shooting Range. And Wednesday, November 22nd, yes, the night before Thanksgiving, and we already have people signed up for this, which is going to be great, you know, looking for something to do other than be slaving in the kitchen. Save that for the next day. We got a bunch of ladies that are going to be coming.
Going to have turkey pizza that
night? Yeah, maybe we will. Maybe we will. And, of course, the pizza provided by Caserta's Pizza and also Twisted Pizza. We provide everything. All the details are on the website, so I'm going to send you there, lockstockanddaria.com, under the Classes tab, Ladies Nights, and all the info is there. I will give you the heads up that Pine Ridge and Mid-State do require pre-registration, but the Fall River Rod and Gun Club Thursday, November 9th, no pre-registration required for that. Greg Cruz is joining me in the studio, and he is the chief firearms instructor for Smith & Wesson. You mainly, there's no civilian training there. They used to do that or no?
So we did. We used to do that. There's some select stuff that does go on, and we're seriously looking at trying to find a way back into that.
Okay. And so right now it's just law enforcement and military.
Correct.
Okay. So what is the difference? What are some of the very distinct differences that you find training law enforcement versus civilian? And I one of them, I'm going to go out on a limb and say it's like we civilians, we want to be there. You know, law enforcement, military, some, I would, and I'm not, there's no disparaging comments here. Okay. Whatsoever, but it's part of the job, right?
Yeah. So, the big thing with me is, and again, you know that I'm selective on who I train. So when it comes to civilians, the people who come to train with me are already aware of how I train, what I'm about. So I get people who are motivated that want to train, which is extremely encouraging for an instructor when you're there and the people want to train and they want you to push them. They want to be better. And I can't say that is a bad thing on the police side either, because I have that. The thing that I see is a big difference is a number of the officers who have been in the field for a long period of time have had less than good instructors. And they come with this, I just need to cooperate and graduate attitude. And after the first day or so, I really need to peel their head open and get all that out of the way and say, okay, we're here to learn, so let's... And they're not used to that atmosphere. They're used to being spoon-fed everything, and when I get them to think or to do things differently, it's really challenging. And then by about, you know, if it's a week-long class, by about day three, they're like, wow, this is like really a class that I should be interactive in because I'm really getting something out of this. And this guy really has a passion and cares about, you know, me and the end. Recently, I've had some phenomenal, phenomenal law enforcement classes where the guys push me to my limits to be a better instructor, having to come up with more inventive ways to get training to them. And I've had other classes where guys who have said, hey, I've been doing firearms for 20 years, and, you know, I get them on the range, and they can't put 5 shots at 5 yards in 5 seconds into a 5-inch circle. And I'm like, seriously, come on, guys. I mean, I've got single mothers of two that do this on a daily basis, just strong hand only. And it's a challenging, and again, nothing against them. You know, I used to be one. I'm happy to be retired. But the training they receive sometimes is not the best, and they don't train as much as they should. So it's challenging. But the biggest difference I see is the enthusiasm. My civilian classes, I just, everybody's stoked to be there. I mean, we just did one in the pouring rain just about all day. It was cold. It was damp. It was miserable. And I didn't hear not one person bitch about, oh, this weather's terrible. You know, everybody was like, oh, it's 4 o'clock and we're still training. Oh, this is awesome. What else is next? I'm like, okay, well, we're going to skip lunch and go right through. And everybody's like, oh, yeah, absolutely. There are some things that in the law enforcement world, you know, you're not skipping lunch. that doesn't happen.
Or the coffee run to
right.
Dunkin' Donuts.
So, and, you know, again, I love working with the guys every day. I feel like I'm able to give back to the community, my law enforcement and military guys. And they, let's face it, at the end of the day, they have a horrible job. So if I can touch a few of them at a time each time I do it, and they're enthusiastic about coming back to train and get more training, that's a positive thing. And for a long time, you know, a lot of us, we're not sure what good training is. You know, and you have somebody who's in front of you who's appointed to be that position or that person. And, you know, it might be somebody's uncle or, you know, somebody who messed up. So we'll put them in training and that way we can keep an eye on them. And these guys are getting less than quality training. I'm passionate about what I do. I believe that I want to give back. It's my way of still staying in the fight. Smith & Wesson has an incredible program. I have got great people to work with that allow me to do my thing. Sometimes as wacky as it may be, but I get great results and, yeah, I'm blessed to be able to do it.
Now, I was at the class. I was at the class. It was in the pouring rain. And
you were?
It was cold, and we skipped lunch.
I didn't make you cry.
And no, you did not make me cry. I thought it was awesome. I wrote a review about Greg's class on my Facebook page. If you'd like to check it out, it's my Daria Bruno page. It's a personal page, but it's open to the public. You don't have to friend me to see what's posted there. Everything is out in the open and public. So that class... was it challenging, okay? And I definitely enjoyed it. You've got another class that's going to be coming up on the 12th. How is that class going to differ from the class that we took this last week?
Okay, so one, so I don't get my head cut off, the class I'm doing on the 12th is through on-target training. Seth Wish, I'm going to be a guest instructor for Seth. So the class on the 12th is going to be all geared around movement, where we spend a good amount of time stationary on the range. And there's nothing wrong with that because it gives us a good foundation, but we've got to be able to build from that. What I like to focus on is the fighting portion of what this handgun combat is going to be. It's not going to be two people facing off with each other in an old-style duel. There's going to be a lot of movement. There's going to be a lot of angles. There's going to be a lot of understanding where I should go, how I should get there, whether I'm going to move and then shoot or shoot on the move. So this class is going to focus on the building blocks to get you to be able to do either one of those or both. One of the things in the last class that you see is I like to give a lot of drills that the student can then take back with them and expand on. I may be a terrible businessman because everybody else is like, oh, you need to come to Handgun 101 and get this. And then after that, you go to Handgun 102. And I want to give you a whole bunch of stuff to be able to take back and be able to train. I'm real big on taking notes because I think if you don't, you're going to forget the things, and we go over a ton of information. So on the shooting and moving class, it's going to be all about the movement portion of the fight. How do I move with the gun, ready positions when I'm moving, shooting on the move, or moving then shooting. So it's all about movement and engaging threats.
I think that one of the excellent, excellent points that you made is the note taking. I think humans really, we have terrible memories. I think by and large, the most part, there are some people that can remember things better than others, but people are bad with times and dates and things. And in as much as I say, oh, I'm going to remember that, and I'll just run to my car in between breaks and go write everything down, I can't remember what I had for breakfast this morning, never mind what I did, you know, 4 days ago. So keeping the notes, I think, is really important, being able to refer to them. And you do give practical drills that you can do in the range on your own. A lot of stuff, though, in a public range, you know, you can't draw from a holster. So there are limitations. That's why I think these classes are really good to take, because we're doing stuff that we can't do in, on, you know, day-to-day routine in a range, in a public range, because there's safety and insurance. You can't do a lot of those things.
Absolutely. And it's one of the things that if you've come to my class, I always am enthusiastic about questions. I want to take your questions. And I love when people say that, hey, I'm working on an indoor range. I can't do everything that I'm doing here. What then can I do to help support that? And I really try to, because I'm a shooter myself, so I'm understanding these limitations. It's one of the reasons why I believe in dry fire training. I believe in training with airsoft or simunitions. I believe in there's ways to get around that, but we've got to be better. And again, I'm big on that education piece. As an instructor, and I think that's a big thing, I hate that word, I'd rather be called a teacher, because there's a lot of interaction that goes on in teaching. I've had a lot of instructors that just preach to me. We've got to be better at what we do and smarter. I mean, you know, back in the day, you could go buy a bunch of ammunition for next to nothing and shoot all day till you're knee deep in brass. Those days are gone. So when I go to the range, I want to, you know, take a little bit of time, make sure I'm getting good training. I'm reassuring myself that what I'm doing is positive, what with live fire, because I've already done it dry fire. Maybe I've done it with some airsoft too. So there's a lot of stuff that we talk about and we get into. And I'm real big on the notes, because I hear so many people say, oh, you know, I would die for my family. I'm like, really? But you can't take notes on the class that's supposed to give you the skills to keep them alive, because you're going to remember all this in this eight-hour block of instruction. I mean, to me, it's throw your money away. If you want to throw it my way, it's awesome. But I'm real big on holding you accountable for when. And I asked that in the beginning of my class. How many people are here to protect you or someone you love? And everybody's hands went up. So then I got them on the spot. So now I put it on them, and I'm like, okay, well, if you're not taking notes, you're not doing yourself justice or the people that think that you're going to be there to protect them.
Yeah, agreed. I like something else that you said in the class, too, about it's you know, it's not because I hate you, you know, your enemy, so to speak, air quotes here. It's because I love my family. You know, I love my life.
You know, that's a big thing, and I think a lot of people don't understand that. You know, we talk about even my military, and I brought that up as was the first point. The people that I was with in the military, I didn't fight with a ferocity against the enemy because I hated them. It's because I loved my brothers and sisters that were with me so much, because I had so much respect for the people that were with me. And now that rolls over into my family and my loved ones. I'm like, I don't hate anybody. I don't have that in me. What I have is the ability to love them. And like I said, my family's like a little executive protection detail. You know, I take them to the movies, and I'm making sure we're sitting at the right place. And I mean, just look at the news today, and you'll see it again.
Yep.
Why we need to be vigilant.
Absolutely.
And that's, you know, that's a big thing.
Yep.
I think that education piece is critical.
It is. It's very critical. We got like 30 seconds left. Greg Cruz, Chief Firearms Instructor at Smith & Wesson, thank you for joining me. Richard August, I appreciate it. Next show that we're going to be on when the Patriots are not is December 10th. So we hope that you come back for more Lock, Stock, and Daria. There was another mass shooting today. Until we get all the details, I didn't want to talk about it. And so we're just going to keep all those people in our prayers. And thanks, Brian. You did a great job today. Appreciate it. And everybody have a great week. And we'll be back on December 10th with more Stick to Your Guns Radio, Lock, Stock, and Daria on 99.7 FM and 6:30 AM WPRO.